verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. I'll be reading from the NIV version this morning. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Upon completing Bible college, I was hired as a solo pastor at a rural Saskatchewan church. Besides the few youth that attended our congregation, I was the youngest person at that church. Our church only had about 10 families that attended on a regular basis, and so as you can imagine, every issue that happened within that little building and within the families that attended there affected everybody, because either everybody was related or they had grown up their whole lives together. God didn't really give me a grace period in my first few months of ministry in that church. In the first few months, I faced a couple of difficult situations that tested our community's faith and also our unity. One situation was a retired couple that had attended our church their entire lives. They'd been a part of planting the church, and they had a daughter who had been diagnosed with cancer. This daughter lived in the city but was still deeply connected to our congregation and to our community, as she would often be back to support her parents and to just to be with them over the weekends. She was also highly respected in the city and in the profession that she worked in. So when she came down with cancer, it devastated a huge circle of people. Every Wednesday night prayer meeting in our local church, we prayed for this woman to be healed. And every Wednesday night, we would be encouraged to hear about all the churches that were praying for this woman across Saskatchewan and even across Canada, that she would be healed. Sadly, her health continued to decline, and I was called to visit her in palliative care. She soon after passed away. The news was especially difficult on her parents, and that spread to our whole congregation, as everyone had a lot of memories spending time together with this special woman. Although the people in our congregation had a very strong faith in Jesus Christ, this was a true test for them in their faith. And there were so many questions for me about healing and prayer and why does God work the way that he works. That's not easy for a pastor at any time, but especially not easy for a guy like me coming straight out of Bible college into a community where I didn't know the people and just trying to relate to them. It was a very difficult moment. So that early time in ministry led me to wrestle with this question. How should we pray when we are sick? How should we pray when we're sick? So this morning, we're going to focus on two things in our text. The first is that we're going to see that prayer is an appropriate response in all of our emotional conditions, whatever we might be going through. And the second major part that we're going to look at this morning is how should the church pray for those that are sick. And we're going to look at some steps that James gives us and how the church can pray for those that are sick. So first, prayer is the appropriate active response in all of our emotional conditions. If you look back at verse 13 of James, he says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is any one of you happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So as you read the book of James, one of the overarching themes that runs throughout the whole book is that James is actually challenging Christians to be active in their faith. A reading of the entire book, you'll see that James has a concern for social justice issues. He has an interest in the way that we speak with one another. And ultimately, he wants to see Christians live out a faith that has action, where there's something that's happening. you look at James chapter 1, verse 22, you can see it very clearly in his words. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. And so we come to James chapter 5, our text this morning, and he turns our focus and our attention onto prayer. Prayer is not a passive response to the situations that we face in life. It's easy to believe the lie that prayer is not a dynamic enough response. But James would argue otherwise. And this argument is coming from a guy who is passionate about social justice issues. He's passionate about action, and he comes to the conclusion of his book, and he starts telling us about prayer. So let's look at chapter 5, verse 13 again. He says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." So the word trouble means it's pretty general, and his meaning is anyone experiencing difficulty in your life? Are you having any challenges in your life? Only he says you should pray. The second question he says is, any one of you happy? And I think in these two questions he's giving us this wide spectrum of varied emotional conditions that we can be going through. Whether we are in difficult moments and in challenging moments, or whether we are happy. And if we're in difficult moments, James says, we should pray. And if we're happy, he says, let him sing songs of praise. Two answers, but I think he's driving us to one main idea in both of those answers to those questions. And that idea that James is driving us towards is that whether we're in the dark valleys of life or whether we're on the mountaintops, we must turn our attention to God. Prayer and praise are both very similar because they're turning our words and our hearts and our minds towards the living God. James urges his readers to action in prayer in all of their emotional conditions. Praying is the right response to any circumstance we could find ourselves in. Our family's just recently gone through the biography of George Mueller. Mueller lived most of his life in Bristol, England in the 1800s, and he accomplished many things in his life, but the thing that he's most well known for is building an orphanage and that prayer life that he had that surrounded this orphanage that he built. What's remarkable about George Mueller is that every time he had a need, he never asked for money. He just went to God. He prayed, and God would answer. And he built this orphanage to the point where he cared for over 10,000 children in his lifetime. One of my favorite stories in his book, in this biography, is the time when he had a small girl visiting him at the orphanage, a friend of the family. And that particular morning, there was nothing in the orphanage to eat for breakfast. But Mueller took her hand as she was visiting them and said, "Come and see what our father will do." So in the dining room, the long tables were set for the children. Empty plates and empty mugs were put out. There was no food and there was no money. So there was no way for them to access any food at this moment. But Mueller had all the children come in and sit down at the table like they normally would. And he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." And immediately after he finished his prayer, there was a knock at the door. And when they opened it, there stood the local baker. "Mr. Mueller," he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt like you didn't have anything for breakfast, so I woke up at 2 a.m. and baked you bread." So Mueller thanked him, and he gave praise to God for providing this food for these orphans. And then a second knock came at the door, and it was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage, and he said that he would like to give the children the milk so that he could fix his cart. He had to get the weight off the cart so that he could fix it. So the children now had bread, and they had milk. They had breakfast. So Mueller, I think he took the words of James and he prayed on behalf of the orphanage when they faced difficulty, but he also praised God every single time God answered those prayers for him. So he praised God when things were good, and he also prayed to God when things were difficult. So in whatever emotional condition or situation that we are in today, we can turn to God. So at this point, James has been clear that in any situation, whether we're happy, whether we're sad, we can turn to God. The appropriate response is prayer. And since prayer is the appropriate response in all of our emotional conditions, we must ask more specifically now, how should we pray when we're sick? How should we pray when we're sick? So to begin to answer that question this morning, James actually outlines four steps for us and how the church can pray when we're sick. To begin to answer this question, we see the first step is that the sick person should initiate prayer with the elder. So I'd ask you just to go back and look at verse 14 of James chapter 5. It says, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord." So James is picking up from the same question and answer thing that he was doing in verse 13, and he continues in verse 14, but this time he's getting a little bit more specific and saying this is how we should pray for the sick person. The sick person has the responsibility of calling the elders to come and initiate prayer for him or for her. So the elder's job is actually not to go around scouting out who the sick people are in their congregation or who the sick people are in their city, but to go when they are called upon to go and pray for the sick. So actually at the end of our service this morning, the elders will be at the front of the sanctuary on this side, available to pray for those that are sick. So if you're sick and desiring prayer this morning, it will be up to you to initiate prayer with the elders by coming forward and requesting that they pray for you. So if you're thinking about coming forward this morning, what can you expect from the elders as they pray for you? This actually leads us to our second step. The second step we're invited to take is if we are sick and desiring prayer, we can anoint with oil. If you look at verse 14, it says this, to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The elders of Bethany, in following the pattern set down by James, will be available to pray over the sick and are willing to anoint the sick person with oil in the name of the Lord. So upon being approached by someone who is sick and seeking prayer, the elders will request permission if that sick person would like to be anointed with oil. So they leave the choice up to the person who is requesting prayer. So why should the elders anoint with oil? Maybe that's a question that you're wondering and asking. To be anointed with oil is a symbolic gesture that indicates that we're setting this person apart for special prayer for healing before the Lord. If you look back in the Old Testament, there's examples of kings being anointed with oil. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, we can see this happening to David. 1 Samuel 16:13 says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward." So the anointing sets David apart from his brothers for the work that God was going to do in and through him for the rest of his life. And in some ways, it's similar for us today. To be anointed with oil by the elders means that they are symbolically setting apart the sick person for special prayer for healing. The oil is symbolic. It carries no extra power, no extra spiritual energy to heal that person. It's a symbolic gesture. And James explains that the elders are to anoint the sick person with oil in the name of the Lord. So by anointing in the name of the Lord, it indicates that the elders are not relying on their own power or on the oil to see the sick person healed. They're relying on Jesus Christ himself. That's where the power to heal is in. So we've seen that the elders will, upon request, anoint with oil and pray for the sick in the name of the Lord. What else can you expect from the elders as they pray for those that are sick? This leads us to our third step. The third step James lays out for us is called the prayer of faith. Verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. James is confident that a prayer of faith prayed by the elders will actually make the sick person better. So what is a prayer of faith? Well, in the Bible, there are at least 9 different types of prayer. There's a prayer of thanksgiving, there's a prayer of dedication, there's a prayer of worship, and in James chapter 5, verse 15, we get another type of prayer. This is a prayer that we would call the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith is mentioned specifically in the context of healing. So for those of you that are getting ideas of praying prayers of faith for the Seattle Seahawks this afternoon, or the Patriots, it's not for that. It's for healing. It's specific to healing. Guy King in the book A Belief That Behaves says, the prayer of faith, see if they can get up there, he says the prayer of faith cannot be prayed at will, but it is given of God in certain cases to serve his own loving purposes and in strict accordance with his sovereign will. The prayer of faith cannot be prayed at will, but it is given of God in certain cases. So the elders cannot just decide to pray a prayer of faith. Furthermore, the prayer of faith is not a stylized type of prayer for healing where specific words are said out loud. I've often heard sermons where pastors would say, you know, if you say this, this, and this in a row, those are power words and that will help God heal the sick. That's not a prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is completely dependent on God to heal. Not on the words that we're saying. It's dependent on Jesus Christ to heal the sick person. And the prayer of faith is a spiritual gift of faith given by God to the elders to pray confidently for healing. Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, to one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To pray with faith, to pray this prayer that the elders would pray for the sick, is a gift from God. That faith that God gives is a gift. John Piper wrote about this as well. And he says this, there is a faith that comes as a special gift to pray for something extraordinary. There is a faith that comes as a special gift to pray for something extraordinary. So in the same way that we believe that salvation is a gift from God, something that God gives, we believe that praying the prayer of faith is a gift from God. The image we should be seeing in our minds as we look at this text is of the elders gathering around the sick person who's laying in bed, unable to get up. And as the sick person asks the elders to pray, the elders intently ask God for faith to pray with faith. And James is 100% confident that God will use the prayer of faith to make the sick person well. There's no doubt in his mind. God will heal the sick person as the elders are granted the prayer of faith. One caution we should take to this text is that it is not an unconditional promise for physical healing. As I think back to the story of the couple, the retired couple in our church who lost their daughter to cancer, I recognize that God doesn't always grant the opportunity to pray the prayer of faith. Now that does not discredit the elders' prayer for the sick in any way. It means that it was not in God's good and loving plan to heal in this way and in this time. And yet, this text challenges us and challenges the elders to desire to pray with faith. In fact, if you go back to James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, when James is talking about prayer there as well, he says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. So maybe you're asking, how can one pray for healing with so much confidence? And we can pray confidently for healing because it is not the elder, it is not the oil that brings healing, but it is Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 15 again. And we'll see the fourth step. Verse 15 says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." So when the elders pray for the sick, anoint with oil, we see there that it is the Lord. James is very clear. It is the Lord that will raise the sick person up. And that image that we should be getting is of the elders coming around someone who is sick, lying in bed. They have no strength, no possible way that they're able to get out of the bed on their own. And the elders come around and they pray for this person, and God lifts them up out of the bed. God gives them the strength, the physical strength, to get out of bed, and they're healed. And that image makes me think of an experience that I went through personally in Kenya. While we were serving there, I contracted something that was called dengue fever. It's a virus that's passed on by mosquitoes. Dengue fever weakens you to the point where you feel that every movement is painfully exhausting. 2 weeks before I had contracted dengue fever, another coworker who served in our unit actually passed away from complications from dengue. So after I got dengue, I did not leave my bed. I had no strength other than just going out for regular blood tests to monitor my situation. As a couple days passed, my blood work showed that I was continuing to get worse. And the mission decided to evacuate me and transport me to our mission hospital. Once I got to the mission hospital, out of my room, I could see the freshly dug grave of my coworker. It was a difficult time. Yet through it all, I knew hundreds of people around the world had been mobilized to pray for me. People in Kenya were praying for me, and people in Canada, people in the U.S., people everywhere. I even had a Kenyan hospital chaplain come into my room beside my bed and pray with me. And after a grueling week of being sick, through the prayers of many people, I believe that God healed me, and I got out of my bed, and I was fine. So the Lord will raise the sick person up. The Lord has the power to do that. In James 5:15, it says, "The Lord raises sick," indicating it's actually Jesus. He's talking about Jesus here. And it's Jesus that actually came and he lowered himself from heaven to earth and walked among us, just like we do today. But he also lowered himself further than any of us have ever gone. He died. And what did his death accomplish? I like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Since Jesus was raised from the dead, he has conquered death, and he's also conquered disease. He has the power to raise those that are sick. And beyond raising us from the sick, he has the power to forgive us of our sins and to give us new life. James writes at the end of verse 15, you'll notice, "If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." So our hope and our confidence in prayer is dependent on Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead. All of our prayers for healing, all of our prayers to have faith, all of our prayers for forgiveness are dependent on Jesus Christ. So if our bodies are broken from sickness, or sin, or we lack faith, we all actually need the same thing. We all need Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, it speaks about how Jesus Christ is the one who meets our greatest needs. He's holy, he's blameless, he's pure, set apart from sinners, and he's exalted above the heavens. Why wouldn't you turn to one? Why wouldn't we turn to him to pray for the sick? In our family ministry program at Bethany, you've probably been hearing a lot about, we've been emphasizing something called catechism at home. And catechism is basically a question and answer process for teaching children and even teaching us the basics of our faith and truths in the scripture. So one of our recent questions was this, and you'll see it on the screen. What is God? And the answer is, God is the creator of everyone and everything. God is the creator of everyone and everything. And I would ask you, what greater action could we take as believers in Jesus Christ than turn to the one who's the creator of everyone and everything when we are sick? In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "For by him," this is Jesus, "for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church." He's the head of the body, the church. Christ is the one that holds all things together in the world. Christ is the one who rules above all heavenly powers and authorities. And Christ is the head of the church, and he has chosen elders. Praying for the sick is one of his divine processes for seeing the sick healed. So this morning, after our time of communion, which we'll share together in just a few moments, there will be a time of prayer. So for those that are sick, you'll have the opportunity to initiate prayer with the elders by coming forward and requesting prayer. The elders will be over here on this side. And for those that just want prayer for anything else, our prayer team will be over here on this side, and they'll be happy to pray with you as well. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this day and humbly acknowledge that all things come from you. Life, breath, happiness, goodness, truth, beauty, and salvation. We are entirely dependent upon you. Please give us grace to know more of our need for the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. God, would you increase our faith in you and allow us to center that faith fully on Jesus' completed work upon the cross and upon the glory of God. God, I ask that you would be gracious to our elders this morning as they pray for those that are sick. God, would you give them faith so that they could pray with faith? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.